Jody Mack on a Thursday night here with you on The Fan, and I knew I was doing the show on Thursday, so I started thinking about on Monday, Mets and Yankees will be playing, the Knicks will find out by then what they're going to do in a draft. Little did I know that probably the main topic of conversation was going to be the Jets, and it's the dysfunctional Jets again, and yes, I've been a Jet fan my whole life, so I should be hardened to this by now, but yet I'm not. Here to maybe soften me up a little bit, I hope, and you Jet fans as well. A guy who does it day in, day out for a living. He covers the Jets for The Athletic. Connor Hughes hops aboard with us here on The Fan. Connor, what were you doing when you found out the Jets didn't have a general manager?
I'll tell you what, man. I was actually packing my bags, and I was walking out of the house to go to the gym and then the driving range and kind of enjoy myself a little bit. And that's when I looked down on my phone and was like, well, that's not happening anymore. Looks like I'm about to go to work. So it went from a very relaxing day, a day I was planning on kind of just taking some time to myself to not necessarily doing that anymore.
Was there any inkling that something as radical as this could happen? Because for me, and I don't do it every day like you do, but I stay in pretty good touch with the team that I root for. I had no idea that something like this was brewing. Had you seen anything, heard anything that at least told you that the Jets weren't all happy in Jetland, or did this come completely out of left field?
Not completely out of left field, because during the draft, whether it was kind of basically a day before the draft, a couple days before the draft, and then during that first and second round, there were rumors going around NFL circuits that the Jets were going to make a move after the NFL draft and let Maccagnan go because of organizational dysfunction is one way to put it, but more so just a rift between he and Adam Gase. And when those rumors started and eventually those reports got out, was when you take that news and you kind of go to the Jets and you say, hey, this is what I'm hearing. Is there anything to this? I mean, because I've now heard it from three or four different sources that, kind of within the NFL landscape. And the one thing that the Jets put forth and the Jets reiterated over and over and over again is that that talk was BS, that talk was not true, that was not going to happen. And it was reiterated over and over and over again to basically every member of the media that the Jets were not going to make a change. So when that's said and so strongly said, you kind of say, okay, well, these rumors are out there, but I guess, it's just hearsay. It's people talking and it's not going to happen. So you had heard that this was a possibility, but the Jets took such a strong stance in denying it that you figured that rumors were just rumors. So when it ended up coming out, obviously yesterday, that the Jets were making a change, it was stunning and shocking considering their strong defense of it not happening. But there was definitely talk of it earlier in the year, specifically around the NFL draft.
Fair enough. So let's work from the basis of that it's a Gase-Maccagnan issue, that's the reason why they made this decision to let Maccagnan go, that he just couldn't get along. The coach and the general manager were not seeing eye to eye, and it was getting a little ugly between them. The owner makes a call. He's going to move one of them, and he decides to move the general manager who he could have, maybe should have fired at the end of last year. That kind of makes sense. What the hell happened between Gase and Maccagnan? Was this purely a Chris Johnson hire of Gase? Was it over Maccagnan's objection? How did these two fall out of love as quickly as they did?
No, that's the crazy thing, Jody, is that it wasn't. It was, I mean, Mike Maccagnan didn't single-handedly hire Adam Gase, but he was very much involved in the hiring of Adam Gase. I mean, obviously Christopher Johnson had the final say, and Christopher Johnson, signed off on Gase, but Maccagnan was one of the very influential reasons and why Adam Gase was hired as Jets head coach. And that's what makes all of this so surprising. And again, if you want to say, and I agree with this, Mike Maccagnan has done enough during his time as the Jets general manager to not necessarily be the Jets general manager. When you look at his draft record, whether it was second round misses like Christian Hackenberg, Devin Smith, first round misses like Darren Lee, I mean, there's a reason why the Jets have had so much kind of talent deficiencies on their roster the last 4 years. And it's because of the job that Mike Maccagnan's done as general manager. But again, you say okay, well, that means he should be let go. Correct. It does mean he should be let go. But you don't let him go after he is a major role in Adam Gase getting hired after he spends more than $125 million in free agency, after he orchestrates the entirety of the Jets NFL draft. That's what makes this so surprising. Not that the Jets let Mike Maccagnan go, but when they let Mike Maccagnan go, and part of it had to do with Mike Maccagnan's inability to kind of make decisions in a immediate manner. You know, he was kind of an undecisive guy. But it also has to do largely with him and Adam Gase butting heads. Obviously, there was disagreement over how much money to pay Le'Veon Bell. There was a disagreement with how much money to pay C.J. Mosley. I heard that there was an Adam Gase kind of going out of his way to say, look, we need to sign Trevor Siemian because I need a guy who knows my offense to help Sam Darnold. And then Mike Maccagnan never really making that move because Adam Gase went around and contacted Siemian without telling Mike Maccagnan. It was a dysfunctional mess between these two guys. And eventually it got to the point where Christopher Johnson said, you know what? We don't really, this is basically not a environment that is conducive to success. I've got to make a change. He's obviously not going to fire the coach that he hired 4 months ago. So Mike Maccagnan was the one showing the door.
Connie Hughes of The Athletic, our guests, working our way through the mess that is the Jets here on The Fan. Okay, so they can't coexist. Somebody's got to go. Maccagnan does actually make more sense. I get that, even though it's mistimed and mishandled and has a better chance to fail than succeed. Sometimes you get lucky. But what has Adam Gase done to merit being the guy that the owner comes down and says, not only am I not firing him, oh, he's in charge until I can find another general manager, which I'll get to with you in a second. But what has Gase done in his career to have that kind of pull that Chris Johnson's going to let him be the general manager for 2 weeks, if not 2 hours, how does he merit this status?
He befriended Peyton Manning. I mean, that's the maddening part of this entire situation is that Adam Gase has done nothing to warrant this kind of elevation in his job status to be able to have this power within the organization to be able to say, you know, we're picking Adam Gase over Mike Maccagnan because he's Adam Gase. He's done nothing. You know, he was the offensive coordinator for a very good Denver Bronco team. But if you ask anyone what the offensive coordinator does on a Peyton Manning quarterback offense, you kind of get they help Peyton do what Peyton does. And that's the big thing here is that Adam Gase has suddenly gone from a guy that no one else wanted to hire as a head coach. The Jets were the only ones interested in potentially giving him another head coaching job, to now being the guy with all of this power within the Jets organization, to be the guy that's helping pick the next general manager and a general manager that's going to work hand in hand with Adam Gase and basically be an extension of Adam Gase. I mean, I honestly, Jody, I can't answer that question because I don't know what Adam Gase has done. He had some very good offenses in Denver, obviously, but in Miami, I mean, he butted heads with players. He butted heads with ownership. He had an offense that completely fell apart after that playoff season his first year, so that the second and third years he was the head coach of the Dolphins, they resembled nothing of a elite level offense. And now he's the guy that suddenly has all of this power within the Jets organization. It's as stunning to me and surprising to me as it is to you. So honestly, I wish I could answer that question for you, but I don't know, other than the fact that you know, well, he's buddy-buddy with Peyton Manning, and Peyton called the Jets to kind of help ease the decision to hire him. And apparently that phone call and whatever Gase has done these first 4 months has won over Christopher Johnson.
Well, if Peyton Manning's got some downtime, he didn't take the Monday Night Football gig, he wants to come in and be the general manager, I'll sign off on that, because I have a specific fear that they have next to no chance to get a legitimate general manager to come in, because who's going to take the job knowing that the head coach is the general manager on the short-term basis, interim basis, and he helped to get the previous general manager, his track record being what it is, which isn't great, but a guy who had been in the job for several years, that the coach came in and got him fired within a couple of months. Who could they possibly get to take over the GM job in a full-time basis?
It's a good point, but I think the one thing is that Adam Gase's relationship with Joe Douglas, who's obviously over there in Philadelphia right now, if the Jets can come out of this whole situation and this whole kind of confusing situation here and kind of a mess of a situation with Joe Douglas as their general manager, that would be a very good win. You know, I know that Howie Roseman gets a ton of credit for what's happened with Philadelphia with their Super Bowl run 2 years ago, their string of success since they let Chip Kelly go, their successful drafting. But Joe Douglas is as much a reason for that success as Howie Roseman is. I mean, this is a guy who pretty much runs their entire scouting department. He's the guy who makes their draft board. Well, he is not the sole voice in the pro personnel department in terms of signing free agents. Howie Roseman's half of it, and Joe Douglas is the other. So he's very much involved with the success that the Eagles have experienced the last several years. He's a guy who cut his teeth from the likes of Ozzie Newsome for 15 years. I think it was either 14 or 15 years with the Baltimore Ravens. So he is a guy who has a very impressive resume. He's a guy who's proven that he's been able to do it. He's cut his teeth from some very impressive people, and he has a very good relationship with Adam Gase because the two worked together in 2015 with the Chicago Bears. So if the Jets are able to come out of this whole situation with Joe Douglas as their general manager, yes, he's kind of an extension of Adam Gase, but he's also a very, very, very highly regarded person in the personnel ranks of the NFL, which would be a tremendous get for the Jets. I mean, again, like you said, I completely agree that the idea that they're just going to get anyone is a crazy idea considering what it seems Adam Gase has pulled a little bit here. But if he's able to get his friend Joe Douglas in the building, well, Joe Douglas is a pretty damn good general managing candidate that could absolutely pay pretty big dividends for the Jets.
Cross your fingers on that one, Jet fans. Connor Hughes from The Athletic talking Jets with us here on The Fan. As you mentioned earlier, and it was well documented even before he was hired as head coach of the Jets, while he was down in Miami, we heard about some of the issues that Adam Gase had with some of his players. With the Jet players this year, if he rubbed guys the wrong way and was flexing his muscles and making difficult on players when he was just the coach, now that he's the big dog on campus, do Jet players have to show up in camp ready to say yes, sir, no, sir, whatever it is you want, Adam, sir?
Yes and no. I mean, I think the whole player dynamic, the more interesting aspect of this is that arguably, the two best players in the Jets roster right now are C.J. Mosley and Le'Veon Bell, two players that they signed in free agency. Gave pretty big contracts to acquire, but you're paying big money for players that are arguably one of the best middle linebackers in the NFL and arguably the best running back in the NFL. So you're going to have to pay a pretty hefty price tag for it. And now those two players know that Adam Gase was not somebody that was willing to pay them that money, that Adam Gase was not somebody that was open to giving them that kind of a contract. And I know that Le'Veon Bell went on Twitter and said, you know, look, it's a report. He's heard the report, but he's not going to care too much about the report. He's just coming here. You know, he signed with the Jets to win. He wants to win, and that's all that's on his mind. He's not going to focus on any of this other stuff. The fact is that when he sees Adam Gase, it's going to be in the back of his mind that this guy didn't really want me here. And well, now I am here, and I'm here for the next several seasons because of my contract, but does my coach not like me? I mean, it does create this very weird dynamic between a coach that is taking over a team that is in dire need to start winning, because, I mean, how many years has it been since the Jets were even in the playoffs? 9 years, I think, or 8 years, something like that, since the 2010-2011 season. And now their best players and the players that conceivably would be a big reason why they get into the postseason know that their head coach didn't want them. So it's a very odd dynamic. It's a very weird dynamic, and it's going to be something to monitor here going forward, as well as the relationship between Adam Gase and his defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, as that's another situation of potentially combustible here as we go forward into training camp and then the regular season.
Connor, I've been listening to The Fan since all this, you know what, hit the fan, so to speak, earlier this week. I'm sure guys have gotten to you on Twitter as well, Jet Nation and their fans out there. None too pleased, and it's just SOJ, same old Jets, and it is very frustrating if you're a Jet fan. Well, the one way to clear anything is win, and the Jets haven't won enough. Yep. So the pressure's on Adam Gase to win right out of the bat. Does he feel that? Does he know that? Does he accept that? Or does he, because he's been able to pull off this maneuver he's pulled off, said, well, it's going to take as long as it's going to take. I don't care. I got my contract. The owner likes me. We'll win when we get around to it. How do you think Gase actually feels it when camp opens up?
I think it. Look, you don't sign C.J. Mosley, you don't sign Le'Veon Bell, you don't have Sam Darnold going into the second year of his rookie contract unless you're expecting to win right now. And I'm not saying that the Jets are undoubtedly favorite to be the AFC East champions. I'm not saying that the Jets are going to make the playoffs this year, but you expect a team that is at least going to be in the playoff conversation here into late December and kind of really be in this thing come week 16, week 17 with a chance to make the playoffs. That's the fact. And the other thing in this whole equation is that obviously this paints the Jets in a very negative light. It puts them paints them in a very negative fashion. But if they win this year, and if Adam Gase is the guy that Mike Maccagnan once envisioned and Christopher Johnson envisioned and that Peyton Manning believes he is, and this team now has the talent to win games and Sam Darnold ascends, and they win 9, 10, potentially 11 games this year, no one's really going to care that the Jets let go of Mike Maccagnan here in May. I mean, it's really not going to matter. It's just a matter of this team finally winning games and winning football and finally doing what they really haven't done in almost a decade in terms of making the postseason. So, yeah, I mean, it's I don't know if it's necessarily a they have to make the playoffs this year mandate, but if they do and they are good and they're playing, talking about the circus that appears this team is right now.
Connor, last thing. When is the first time the young stud franchise quarterback will be available to the media since all this stuff came down?
You're talking about Sam Darnold?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, yeah. I thought you said cornerback, and I was like,
quarter. Yeah, Mr. Darnold, yeah, yes.
I don't think that's Tremaine Johnson. So, yeah, Sam Darnold, I think that he will be available come OTAs in a couple of weeks. Organized team activities, we'll be able to talk to him then. I know the Jets have a couple media availability sessions coming up here, but I don't think that they're going to make the coach available. So I think the first OTA that the media has access to, Sam Darnold should be available as well.
Should be interesting. I'll be reading you. We'll read you all the way up to that all season long as well. Connor Hughes, thanks for hopping on. Appreciate it. Good luck on the season.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Connor Hughes does a really nice job covering the Jets for The Athletic. Yeah, Jet fans, we're still working it all out. 877-337-6666. Come back, open up the phones. Plenty of stuff, Mets Yanks, but Jets fans want you to get aboard first with us here tonight on The Fan.